on today's Compassion Radio.
It's very interesting for evangelical Christians in the Holy Land. They're persecuted by the Muslims because they're Christian. Mm-hmm. They're persecuted by the Orthodox because they're evangelicals. They're persecuted somewhat by the Jewish population because they're Palestinian. And yet, this small body of Christ, they have fostered two huge movements that we see changing the country.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
Tracking the triumph of God in every nation on earth. Welcome, friends, to this Wednesday edition of Compassion Radio as we get ever so close to this very special upcoming weekend. And with that in mind, a very Merry Christmas from our Compassion Radio family to yours. Now, a quick heads up in that regard, we have an early Christmas gift to share with you for both our Thursday and Friday broadcasts right here. So be sure to listen in or catch the podcast online at CompassionRadio.com. You know, being a boots-on-the-ground radio ministry, we couldn't accomplish much at all without our faithful friends and ministry partners all around the globe. You're going to meet two of them today, and they are truly precious and inspirational. So let's send it over to Cher to make introductions.
Hi, friends. Today we have something really fun for you. We have two people that Norm and I absolutely love. We met in an unusual way in Jerusalem, and we have been friends ever since. We want to introduce you today to Raymond and Catherine Hine, missionaries, students, expertise on many things. Say hello to our friends, Raymond and Catherine. Hi there.
Hello.
Hello. We're so glad to be part of your message today.
Well, we're glad to have you. Well, as Bram probably briefed you yesterday, what we're really looking for is just your general feelings about Bethlehem Bible College. We're trying to raise funds for scholarships for the kids.
One of the things that really awed me was the prayer that was laid down before the Bible College was even started. In fact, an entire generation before the Bible College was started by Bashara and his brother Alex Awad. Mm-hmm. And that is, when these two young men were college students in California, on a Saturday morning, they were walking through the farmer's market speaking Arabic. And an elderly lady came up to them and greeted them, good morning, sabah khair, in Arabic. And they were stunned because they weren't used to finding little old white ladies in California speaking their dialect.
Really?
And they said, well, how do you know Arabic? And she said, well, when I was a young woman, now she's elderly at this point, I went to Jerusalem and I volunteered in an orphanage. Hmm. And I spent 2 years there. And she's reminiscing, she says, there was always one little girl that I have always prayed for since that time. Well, the Awad brothers perked their ears up because their mother had grown up in an orphanage.
Hmm.
And they asked her, what was the name of that little girl? And she says, Huda. And that was their mother.
No, I've never heard this part of the story.
And so the amazing part was that God was able to connect this woman who had prayed for an orphan girl with her two college-age sons in America, who knows how many years later, at least 30 years later, and that she had prayed all this time for Huda, and Huda's children have changed that country.
Is that a God thing
amazing,
or what? Oh, my goodness.
Well, one of the really fascinating things about that story is that lady said that she felt like her time there was just not valuable, and that she didn't...
Raymond is all kind of just that she felt like she hadn't accomplished anything.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
And yet her prayers for this little orphan girl changed the entire country.
Oh, I understand why it's so touching.
Thing, then when Bashara and Alex were able to say, look, at you made a difference for our mother, and because of what you did, our mother is walking strong with the Lord, and we are walking strong with the Lord, and have a vision to see the Lord's work move forward in the Holy Land, and we're used by the Lord to move His kingdom forward in the Holy Land. So It's just a fascinating story about, even though you think that you're not accomplishing anything, you don't know. You just don't know what the Lord is doing.
That's absolutely right, and that's why he only calls us to be faithful. He doesn't tell us that we have to accomplish anything, only be faithful and do what's in front of us to do. Isn't that amazing? And you know, neither Bashar or Alex have ever told us that story. I'm so glad that you remembered and could share it with our listeners.
And what's really fun is that eventually one of their brothers settled in Kansas City, and the mother came and lived out her retirement there, and they were able to bring this elderly lady from California in for family weddings and family events, and they got to enjoy each other in their old age.
Isn't that wonderful?
Oh, my goodness. It was a very special end of the story for all those years of prayer.
I guess. Oh, my goodness. Well, listen, I need to bring our listeners into the story a little bit more with the fact that you lived over there for many years, had an incredible ministry in many ways, but also, Catherine, you taught at Bethlehem Bible College. Tell us a little bit about what you experienced.
When we went just in time for the first Intifada in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And then we were gone for 10 years and missed the whole Oslo peace process. And we came back in time, just in time for the second Intifada. So we've always been there when things are at their worst. And yet, that is the time you see the courage of the students.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the most memorable time for me, well, the faculty and staff too, we had one a faculty member who was shot in the leg as she got out of her car to come in to teach that day.
Mm-hmm.
I think what amazed me the most was that the one morning there had been tank fire into Bethlehem and Beit Jala from the Israeli side, because often the people who wanted to cause problems would come into Christian neighborhoods
mm-hmm.
and shoot over the divide into the Jewish neighborhoods. And then when the return tank fire came, it was fired at Christian home.
Mm-hmm.
And so one morning there had been tank fire all night long, and yet all my students were in there. It was an 8 or 9 o'clock class. It was early enough. They were all there. They hadn't had any sleep. The only student who missed is one whose home was hit and destroyed, and so he was there helping his family pull things together. And they were there and focused. You know, they kept going, what can we do? And I said, the best thing you can do for your country is become the very best teachers and pastors and you know, professionals possible, so that you can help your country rebuild and become what God wants it to be. And so I was always amazed at their faithfulness to show up for classes and to focus and to do good jobs.
I would like to compare that with things that are happening here in our country over elections and things, but I think we won't go there.
I have to admit, one day there was a sound coming in. I could not tell if it was thunder or tank fire in the distance.
Mm-hmm.
And I just didn't know, do I cancel class, but that puts everyone out in the street where they can be targeted? Do I move to the basement? Do I just ignore this? This mm-hmm. was something I was never trained for in Bible school.
So what did you do?
I just kept on teaching and hoped that if I needed to move to the basement, someone from the administration would remember we were there and come get us.
Good for you. I'm wondering, Catherine, can you remember any particular students that stood out in your mind, either their backstories or what they went on to do?
Well, one thing I was always impressed with at the Bible school is that the majority of their students are girls, and they become teachers, they work in the hospitals, they work in the Christian organizations there, they become wives and mothers, pastors' wives, and so it's been really a joy to watch these students as they became adults and become leaders of the women in the Christian community.
Mm.
And there was a huge change, because when I first arrived, there was very much a sense that once a girl marries, she doesn't do anything in the church anymore, she doesn't work anymore. And I saw that change in those 10 years until the women take their full place in society in leadership for women's groups and working, teaching. So these women's impact on the society has been very powerful. They were trying to figure out which one of the pastors or the men should they get for being the speaker for graduation. And I said, mm-hmm. you know, 70% of your students are girls. Let's have Pastor Jack Sorrow's wife speak. She was teaching one class or a class at the Bible College, and she was an incredible example of a Christian woman. And so they had her speak, and today her husband is the president, the new president of the Bible school, and
right.
their ministry has been very powerful.
Now, I know that you've been close friends with the Sarahs. We've heard a little bit about Jack's story before he became a Christian. Is there any part of the story that you'd like to share with us?
Well, his story is not so unusual because a lot of the students who've come to the Lord are people who are passionate for the future of their people.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that the culture says to be passionate is to turn into violence, turn to communism.
Mm-hmm.
That's gone out of style more now, but originally when the Bible school started, that was the main alternative, to either focus on the church or support the Communist Party. And so one of their very first students had been a leader in the communist pushback against the Israeli occupation. And he was the first student at the Bible college, and Bashara, you know, was his teacher and taught him. And today he's a pastor, a very powerful. Now, and this isn't Jack. Jack's story is similar, but
right.
He's a pastor, and I think he just did a visiting pulpit supply in Washington, D.C. recently.
No kidding.
So he's pastoring in two countries.
Sometimes the worst ones become the absolute best ones when God turns them around. Tell us, if you can, how some of these students have affected their home families. Were there any that were Christians whose families were not Christian that were able to have an effect in their family?
Well, in Bethlehem, Christian is a generic, it's almost, we call it a tribe.
Mm-hmm.
You're Christian because your great-great-grandfathers were Christian, and you may have no knowledge of the Bible or even go to church. But the Bible college takes these students who think they're Christian in name and introduces them to Christ. And it's had a transformative power on that community as first the students and then their families can see this huge difference.
That's wonderful. If you've just joined us, we're talking with Raymond and Catherine Hine, who have lived in Bethlehem, who have been deeply involved with the college. And they're sharing some of their memories and some of their stories as to why it is so important that we support the ministry of Bethlehem Bible College, particularly through providing scholarships for the students. Raymond, I know that you weren't necessarily directly teaching at the college, but your experience was at the same level as Catherine's. What would you like to share with us about the importance of the college?
I would like to remember some of the things. While Catherine was teaching several of the years, I was there as an administrator at the college.
And I had forgotten that. I'm glad you brought that up.
Specifically in finances and taking care of their books, but also in whatever was needed by Bashara in that time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I spent at least 2 years plus working on taking care of the books for the Bible college. And during those 2 years, I saw absolutely nothing that was unethical or in any way would cause me to be unclear or unhappy about supporting the work of the Bible college financially.
That's wonderful.
Because they were very careful in recording all the money that came in and recording how it was used.
Hmm.
And so its integrity was just impeccable. And I wanted to make that clear as one of the things that we saw firsthand as we lived and worked with them.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, it's important.
Mm-hmm.
So when we saw that the money that was given for the school was used in ways to advance the kingdom and wasn't in any way used for personal gain. So a fun example is 1 year, Bashar's wife, Salwa, was really angry at him, and we were trying to find out why. Well, he had given away their Christmas money to help with a family that was in need. And she's going, well, you know, there's so much need here. We can't help everybody. What are you doing giving away the money for our kids? She was mad at him for giving away their Christmas money. And that's the kind of integrity they had and the way they looked at finances.
I just have to agree. They always lived a very simple life, and their passion was their people, to reach their people with education in the Lord. We always felt very honored to be able to work under them.
Since you did work in the financial department, you probably then were aware of the students' struggles to pay their tuition and their ability through their families or non-ability. Share with us a little bit about the struggles of paying even the small amount that they're asked to pay.
Well, it's very interesting for evangelical Christians in the Holy Land because they're persecuted by the Muslims because they're Christian.
Mm-hmm.
They're persecuted by the Orthodox because they're evangelicals. They're persecuted somewhat by the Jewish population because they're Palestinian. And so they are in a very, very small niche. And yet this small body of Christ in the midst of, you know, just unending pressure and violence, they have fostered two huge movements that we see changing the country. One is out of the Bible school, out of the people who taught at the Bible school, came a number of different outreaches to reconcile Palestinians and Israelis, to build relationships between them and peacemaking moves between them. And the other is an outreach to their Muslim brothers to share Jesus with the people around them. And those things did not exist in the Christian community when we first went there. And those movements came out of the leadership of the Bible school. So they have changed the country in those ways. This tiny, tiny little fragment of Christians in this land. But financially, most of their families are very constricted because the land has been taken away because of the wall that's gone up around Bethlehem. They've lost their lands, their olive trees. And their other tradition was tourism and olive wood. Some of that is able to get out, but the tourists, many, many of them no longer want to all the hassle of going through the wall. And so they've kind of been, you know, open-air prison there. So financially, it is very, very hard and very expensive. The food is really expensive, and yet the incomes are, we always used to say the food cost twice what it did in the States, and the incomes were a half to a third. And that's why it's so hard for them to pay.
Incredibly difficult.
Again, one of the things that we want to emphasize is that, as Catherine said, this is many years of the Bible College doing a great work in the Holy Land, and they are persecuted or isolated by the Orthodox, by the Jews, by the Muslims. But one of the other groups of people that shun them often is American Christianity.
Yes.
And it's because they are Palestinians. And we read the scriptures and we look at the Bible, and it talks about the Jewish people and it talks about the Philistines. And the American church typically equates the Palestinians with the Philistines. And the idea that a Philistine or a Palestinian would love the Lord, would serve, do everything he can to serve the Lord Jesus and to advance his kingdom is just almost an oxymoron. How can such a thing exist? But that's exactly what's happening. So they see a shunning almost by the American church, which is exactly the wrong thing, because who is the people who are going to make a difference in the Holy Land? Who are the people who will bring the light of Christ? It's the ones who love him. And the majority of the believers in the Holy Land, now there are Jewish believers, but the majority of the believers are the Palestinian believers. And they have, like Catherine said, a heart for reconciliation. They have a heart for outreach. One of the outreaches that they're very active in now is the Syrian refugees in Jordan. And so here we have a group that's under their own pressure, a military pressure, going out and helping another group that's in an even harder situation. That kind of thing is happening, and that's the kind of training that the students get. Look at the world says, hate your enemy, take up arms against your enemy, struggle against your enemy. What does the Bible say? What does Christ say? Love your enemy, turn the other cheek, forgive them, reach out to them. And that is the training that the Bible College gives to the students. And that is the training that we want to be supporting and to see the love of Christ extending between the Palestinians and the Jewish believers. But if you focused on the Lord Jesus, there was fellowship and love and brotherhood and forgiveness and prayer and concern for your brother who was on the other side of the wall. It was just always so powerful whenever we were able to participate in those things.
Are you aware of any believers of Muslim background that have gone through the college now?
I do know one time Bashara was taken before the police and accused that they were training Muslims who had become believers. And Bashara must have been inspired by the Holy Spirit because he said, oh, you mean there's Muslims converting to Christianity? And of course they had to say, no, no, that would never happen. So then he goes, and what is the problem here?
I love it. God uses that man in many ways.
Yes.
Catherine, you mentioned something that I just wanted to follow up on because it has made a real difference in my experience in the Holy Land. You mentioned that many of the students are training to be tour guides. Now, I have been on tours with the regular Jerusalem tour guides, but I've also been on one that had a Christian tour guide, and the difference in the experience was absolutely astounding. Can you give us any insight as to what the difference might be for someone who might be considering going to the Holy Land and choosing a company that they might travel with?
Well, let's just think a little bit about when you're talking to somebody who is considers themselves a Christian but doesn't really know the Lord. And it's so obvious. Mm-hmm. Someone who knows the Lord and loves the Lord and follows the Lord and walks with Him, as compared to someone who's only a Christian in name.
Mm-hmm.
And so typically with the tour guides, this is what happens. They have the knowledge, but they don't have the heart. And so you get tour guides who are incredibly knowledgeable and know so much about the land and the history and the geography and archaeology, etc. But it's all knowledge. It's all knowledge. But when you get a brother or a sister who loves the Lord and has the same knowledge, mm-hmm. but also has the love of the Lord to influence that knowledge, mm-hmm. or to bring life to that knowledge, it's a world of difference. And so a person is reading the scriptures, someone who it's only words to, someone who it's life to. And that's the difference. It's words or life, knowledge or life.
Mm-hmm. I also find that they take you into places where regular tourists may be afraid to go. For instance, they go into Bethlehem. They go to Hebron when it's open.
I have to tell you kind of a local joke.
Good.
You can always find a lot of Bibles with New Testaments in the used bookstores. And we ask about them, and they said, well, Jewish tour guides, you know, they also have their own agenda. But they have found that if they get born again with their evangelical groups, that they get much higher tips. And so some of these Jewish tour guides would get born again every tour, and they'd get a Bible, and they'd get better tips, and then they'd pass the Bible on to the used bookstores.
I've actually had that experience with a tour guide. I know what you mean.
Well, and let's be clear that it's not just the Jewish tour guides who
That's
do that.
Right. That's right.
You know, and let's be clear, too, that it's not just Palestinian who are believers, but mm-hmm. there are wonderful Jewish tour guide leaders who are strong men of faith and love the Lord Jesus and messianic believers. So, I mean, if you have some of your people who are interested in going and making sure that they're group leader is our believers, it's very possible. It's very doable.
And the other thing that's possible is to stay over a couple of days afterwards and stay in the guest rooms at Bethlehem Bible College and get to know the students yourself and experience it firsthand. Well, listen, Catherine and Raymond, I could talk to you all day, but unfortunately we only get so much time on the air, so we have to wrap this up. But I want to thank you, first of all, for the life that you have given into this area of the world. We have been in your home. We have seen your ministry with the students, with the people of the community. You have blessed us in ways that you will never understand. We found you through the Christian bookstore there, and you are the ones that guided us into all kinds of other information. We love you. We believe in you. I hope the Lord expands your territory again into the Middle East. But thank you for the insights, all the information that you've been able to share with us today.
Yeah, and we want to thank you, too, because it's when people come to the Holy Land and reach out to the what we like to call the living stone,
mm-hmm.
the people who are alive today, who love the Lord and are building the kingdom of God. It is so encouraging to all of us. And so when you came and you dropped into the bookshop and we got to know each other, it's been such a wonderful and encouraging experience. And I want to encourage your listeners who are thinking about going to the Holy Land to make that part of your agenda,
mm-hmm.
make it part of your itinerary, to say, I want to meet the believers in the land. And Bethlehem Bible College is one of the wonderful places to meet godly men and women who are laboring for the kingdom of God in the Holy Land. And you did that, and it was so encouraging to us.
Well, dear friends, listen to this man and take his advice. Thank you again so much for joining us, and we'll talk to you soon about some other things in the Middle East that we really want your expertise on.
Thank you, Cher, and thanks to our wonderful guest today, The Hinds, on Compassion Radio. Just enough time for a quick in-studio segment here with Bram as we close things out today. Unlike many of the ministries that you probably hear on this radio station, we do have a unique sell because not only do we need to have the gifts come through to keep this radio program strong and on the air and thriving.
We look for every opportunity to leverage God's resources wherever we find them. And that means our listeners giving as well. The need is serious, and we trust that God's going to move the people to be part of this, that God wants to be part of this. He wants to reach people in many places of the world that no one else is willing to go to, and to be the voice of the downtrodden, of those who have no voice, and bring their passionate story back to us so we can live a more faithful, a more passionate, a more effective Christian life here where we live.
We have Lena on the phone. We've got Paula on the phone. And boy, do they love to hear from you and to pray with you. 1-800-868-2478 is the number. You can call anytime, day or night. 800-868-2478. Of course, there's our mailing address, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. CompassionRadio.com. You can give online right there. CompassionRadio.com. Do remember us in really the closing hours of 2016.
We look forward to what God's going to do together through all of us in 2017. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you all.